producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I can't believe it. 10 years ago today, this show is being broadcast on the 28th of February, 2016. Back in 2006, a curious podcast debuted called the Paracast. And our first guests were Jim Moseley and Brad Steiger. Now, in case some of you don't recall the story, Brad Steiger named this show. We were going to call it Paracast World. And Brad said, why don't you just call it the Paracast? And our original co-host, David, and I said, okay, we'll do that. Now, we wanted to have Brad here for the 10th anniversary show. Brad took a nasty fall in snow-covered, ice-covered Iowa, so he got pretty badly bruised, and he begged off. So we just send a get-well wish to Brad Steiger. But we do have surprises for you. We have Greg Bishop, of course, who was one of our guest co-hosts between the time we had our first co-host and Chris joined us. We also have a couple of surprises, and I'm not going to list them in name order. We have, of course, one of our friendly forum moderators who's heard the show since the beginning, Gogs Mackay. Hi, Gogs.
Hi there, Gene. It's an honor to be here for the 10th anniversary show, and I'm looking forward to another 10 years. It's the best show on.
I will do it from the wheelchair with the walker. And we also have another surprise guest who hasn't been on the Paracast for a while, but we hope that's going to change. Paul Kimball, welcome back.
Hi, Gene. Hi, Greg. Hi, Chris. And hi, Gogs, from New Scotland to Scotland.
Hi, Paul.
Good, always good to hear a Scottish accent.
Thank you. Always good to hear you, too.
One of the things I always liked, and we had Paul on the show, is he would say things that were so memorable, you wanted to include them in your demo reel. And one of the most interesting statements you made on the Paracast, Paul, is when you talked about the Aztec UFO case and compared it to Dracula, where you stick a stake in it, and it always comes back to life. You remember that?
I do, and I wish I could take credit for that. I can take credit for propagating it, but I can't remember the old UFO updates list, which Errol Bruce Knapp used to run, which is gone now. Somebody on that list many years ago, when I was actually making a film about the Aztec case, referred to it, I believe, as ufology's Dracula. And I honestly can't remember who that was, and nobody sort of cared. It was a kind of a random poster. It wasn't one of the regulars, I don't think. But I thought, well, that's basically what Aztec is. So I kind of took it and ran with it. But as Mac Tonies used to say, the crypto-terrestrials was not something he came up with as a term. I'm happy to say that I only propagate the ufology's Dracula phrase. I didn't actually come up with it.
Now, it's kind of strange and ages me, but when you first referred to it that way, ufology's Dracula, you know what I thought about? I thought about a movie from 1944, and that's before my time. I know some of you think I'm as old as the hills, called House of Frankenstein. And John Carradine played Dracula. You know, this is at a time where Bela Lugosi was restricted to B-movies, and he was drug-addicted, and nobody cared about him anymore, except for very bad movies. So John Carradine played Dracula, and in this scene, in this movie, we have Boris Karloff as a mad doctor. And the mad doctor is exhibiting the skeletal remains of Count Dracula. So he absentmindedly pulls the stake out of what would have been the heart of Dracula, and he comes back to life. That's what I thought about, Paul Kimball, when you said that.
Well, I guess, unfortunately, I'm one of the guys who pulled the stake out of the heart of the Aztec case, because when I was shooting a film on Majestic 12, which is another one of ufology's Draculas, there's vampires everywhere. But I piggybacked an Aztec film on that because Stan Friedman introduced me to Scott Ramsey and said, look, here's a case you should look at. And I, you know, have passport, will make film for money, so sure, why not? Scott arranged some private investors from the U.S. to fund the film, but gave me complete editorial control, which is why the film that eventually came out provides equal time to both Scott's views and the views of the skeptics like Carl Flock. Between my film, I guess, and Scott's book that eventually came out, that's kind of what relaunched the Aztec case in the mid-2000s after it had been dead and buried for about 25 years or so. The most recent attempt was a book by William Steinman, UFO Crash at Aztec, which I think came out in the late 1980s. I have a copy sitting around somewhere. I just can't remember the exact publication date. And then that made a splash for a little bit of time, and then it disappeared. So, yeah, it's kind of like sequels. It's kind of like superhero films. You know, we're on, I think the Aztec case is ufology's equivalent of Superman 4, Quest for Peace. Not a very good film, but, you know, continuing the crash saucer meme.
Well, now, of course, they've moved everything to TV. So we have Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow. We had Constantine for half a year, and that was canceled. And now we have Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. And we have so many Marvel sequels, I can't keep up with them. But speaking about cases that don't die, Scott Ramsey comes out with that book, self-published, say, 2012. And just a couple of months ago, I get a book from, you know, a fairly major publisher of UFOs and paranormal books called New Page. We're all familiar with them. It's another edition of Aztec, the Aztec UFO Incident. So I asked Scott Ramsey, okay, and we're not going to make this show about Aztec, just get rid of it right now. I asked him, what's different about this new book? And he says, there's over 100 pages of new material. So I said, summarize it for me. And so far, I've asked him four times, and he hasn't been able to summarize any major changes. I assume the editing is slicker because I read a couple of chapters. But I can't for the life of me figure out what makes it worth reading again. So, of course, at this point in time, I'm not going to read it again. Goggs, you had something to say.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that ufology is just full of Draculas. There are so many cases that have been put to bed, and yet they rise again and again and again. And it doesn't matter what evidence you produce to the, you know, to the true believers, if they've already set their heart on a case, there's nothing you can say to them that'll change their minds. And there's just so many resurrections happening all the time. It's quite disappointing, really. It can make you a bit disillusioned, but with shows like the Paracast and most of the guests we have on, you know, we can see past these things, but they're there all the time. The Draculas are there all the time, no matter how many stakes are driven through the heart.
You know, it would make things a lot better if UFO investigators, even the ones who write books and get paid for it and do paid lectures, would admit when the situation changes, oh, I used to accept that case. But now, looking at it, upon reflection, I do not. And it's kind of like the political world. You know, nobody in politics wants to admit to changing their mind because that's flip-flopping. It's not being an adult and saying, you know what, based on this new set of facts, I can't support that position anymore. I changed. I got older. And it's the same thing, and I don't want to really criticize your uncle Stanton Friedman, Paul, but you and I both agree that there's nothing to MJ-12. Why does he stick with it, man?
I don't know. Stan has changed his mind on some things over the years, certainly, and he doesn't stick with everything to do with MJ-12. He's been very critical, for instance, of the Tim Cooper documents, for example. His position is a little more nuanced, but he believes the original documents are real. Some of that comes down to ego. I don't mean that quite as pejoratively as it might sound, but, you know, when you were the guy, it's hard to let something go. I've never discovered anything in ufology, except for some Canadian records, and they're objective. I just kind of write or make films about UFO cases, or I used to. So, for instance, when I did my top 10 film back in 2007, you know, I put up a post a couple of years ago where I said, look, here's what I think of these 10 cases now. These four have been explained. These three, I think, you know, sort of, I think have been explained. Tim Printy took a really good crack at the RB-47 case because I challenged him to, and he devoted an entire issue of his Sunlight magazine to it. And I think he did an exhaustive job, and I generally accept his conclusions, generally. So, you know, you have to be able to revise your position when somebody – I mean, isn't that what UFO researchers are always asking for? They want the skeptics to take them seriously. They want them to look at the evidence. Well, when they look at the evidence and they come up with a reasonable explanation, then you kind of have to accept it and move on.
We've got the 10th anniversary special roundtable of the Paracast, and we're featuring Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, Gogs Mackay, Gene, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
I know that a lot of our listeners are interested in UFOs, the issue of giant skeletons found in America, paranormal investigations, and what the top researchers think about such topics. One online magazine has been presenting such unusual information since 1985. It is Alternate Perceptions Magazine at apmagazine.info. Use their search function to find articles on just about every topic imaginable. That's apmagazine.info. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
10th Anniversary Roundtable with Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, Chris O'Brien, of course, and Gene Steinberg and Gogs MacKay. Greg Bishop, since we're talking about things...
Yes, Gene Steinberg.
Well, okay, we can start again, but I haven't figured out how. All right, we're talking here about changing your mind about a UFO or paranormal case. Where have you modified your views about specific cases over the years?
I'm trying to think of a good one. I got a good challenge on the Rex Heflin case, but it was from somebody on the UFO Mystic forum, and I couldn't see any of his good points except for they had found that it was closer to the truck than originally thought. I think the object was closer to the truck that was photographed than originally thought, that was found by some skeptics, but then some other people went through and looked at it and presented a paper that said it wasn't, and so I was prepared to change my mind, but I didn't. The funny thing is, the only thing I think of that I really changed my mind on was I didn't think there was anything to the Dulce base rumors. Not at all. I thought it was all completely made up by the Air Force or the NSA or whoever. And then over a period of years, Gabe Valdez, who was the State Highway Patrol, I mean, state police guy up in near Dulce, talked to me. And over a period of years, like I said, he informed me that there was some sort of a weird thing there, maybe a base, something underground, not exactly where everybody thought it was, and not even really where Paul Benowitz said it was, but somewhere up there. And he offered to take me there and show me where the entrance was. He said it looked like it had been dynamited or something like that. And him and a couple other people, the tribe, told me the same thing. I don't think they were pulling my leg. Now, does that mean there was a base there with alien hybrids and body parts and vats and all that? No, it doesn't mean that whatsoever. But it does mean that maybe there was something going on there. And the craziest thing I heard is it was an air base, like a James Bond thing, that things could fly into the mountain. I don't know if that's true, but I changed my stance just a little bit, just as open to the possibility. That's not really a UFO case, but it was an aspect of a famous chapter in ufology. Other than that, you know, when somebody comes up with a good explanation, I'm perfectly willing to change my mind on it. I mean, I don't mind. I'm not emotionally invested in any of these things. If somebody said something I'd written, if I had written an entire book and somebody said it was wrong, or there was no basis in fact for anything I'd written, like Stan, I guess, I'd have a really hard time letting go of it. But the thing is that, 100 people tell me something, or even 3 or 4 or 5, and give me compelling evidence, of course I'm going to change my mind. Otherwise, things don't advance, and you end up looking stupid to a lot of people.
I kind of think here, when you have something like that, a situation like that, being able to say, okay, folks, I think that this particular case, which once impressed me, upon further reflection, it doesn't. And it's important that sometimes we look back at old cases and get them out of the way so we can concentrate on the stuff that's really good. Chris, over the years, do you recall cases that you may have believed at one time and then you said, you know what, maybe not?
Well, yeah, starting at the granddaddy of them all, Roswell, I think early on, before I became more up to speed about the ins and outs of the case. And it's to overuse the term, it's one of those Dracula cases for me. It doesn't matter how many times we stab it, it keeps coming back. When I initially heard about Roswell in the late 80s, early 90s, I thought there was something to it. That wonderful headline at the Roswell Daily News, and the fact that the Army actually was responsible for putting out the announcement and all that. I was very impressed with that. But of course, the more that I have dug into the case, the more it's gotten, I don't know, just almost a mythic reputation. I don't think the books that have come out since the original couple three have really done the case a great service. I think the waters have been incredibly muddied. I have become less and less convinced over the years that it was an extraterrestrial event and become more and more convinced that we were dealing with some sort of man-made object, although that's not a very popular point of view. I don't think, you know, it goes as far as Nick Redfern's, I think, very entertaining theory that body snatchers in the desert. But I think we do need creative thinking just in general. Been saying this like a broken record for years. Other cases, yeah, there have been a few. I think Cape Girardeau is one that deserves more attention. I originally thought that there was nothing to that. Having dug into it a little bit, I think that there may be something there. Other cases, San Luis Valley cases, I think over the years, the cases have stood up surprisingly well. I've come to doubt some of the cattle mutilation cases. I think more and more and more of these cases are misidentified scavenger action, not all by any stretch. So my thinking has become more conservative in general around that particular mystery. But I do, again, stand by the my assertion that we are dealing with a serial crime spree of unprecedented you know, levels, if you will, and that there's definitely something there. But, you know, I think for the most part, I trust my instincts about cases. I don't even really dig into cases that I feel are instinctively or just a waste of time. Perhaps that's a fault. I'm not sure. I just don't have enough time to devote to chasing my tail or chasing around cases that don't have enough scintillating evidence to, you know, really attract deep interest. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I am pliable enough to, I think, to look at new facts coming out about a case and factor that in. Yeah. I try to be as flexible and open-minded as I can and as objective as I can.
Goggs, what about you?
I'm not too sure about actual cases that I once believed and now I don't. But say, for instance, certain pieces of evidence. Now, I think a lot of us believed the Belgium Triangle photo was genuine, and then it turned out that it wasn't. I still think Roswell had something pretty high strange about it. I've never believed Aztec. Because the one thing about the Roswell case is, you know, well, say 20, 30 years ago, there was still, you know, a large number of living witnesses, who had, you know, some part to play, see in the whole event. Can I quickly just go back to the thing about Stanton Friedman and the NJ-12 documents?
Let's hold that for our next segment. Okay, so we'll talk about Stanton Friedman and MJ-12. We're still present. We're still accounted for. We're here doing the 10th anniversary episode of the PowerCast. 10 years ago today, the show premiered. We have Paul Kimball, Chris O'Brien, Gene Steinberg, Greg Bishop, Goggs McKay. With Gene and Chris and everyone, you're in
the PowerCast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Demographic Cliff, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.harrydentresearch.com. Again, that's www.harrydentresearch.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We continue, kind of revisit old cases where our opinions might have changed. I'll ask for further response from Paul Kimball, and I'll give you mine in a moment. But Goggs, you were talking about Stanton Friedman and MJ-12 in our previous segment. Go on, please.
Yeah, I was just, somebody mentioned earlier on about how Stanton is steadfast and, you know, still believing the MJ-12 document's authenticity when most people in ufology certainly don't. But I actually heard him in an interview just the other day. It's a quite recent interview, and he actually seemed to me to have changed his stance quite a lot. He was admitting that the vast majority of the documents were indeed false, with just a few grains of truth, in the classic mode of disinformation where you actually include a bit of truth with a lot of disinformation. And that seems to be quite a change from, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago, when he seemed to believe much more of them were the genuine article. I think he has changed his mind on the MJ-12 documents quite a lot, actually.
All right, let me just give you my examples, and I'll ask Paul about how his opinions have changed over the years. In my case, it is about Roswell and MJ-12, and we were talking about sequelitis before. And now, of course, with all the witnesses gone in Roswell, we have a book called The Children of Roswell from Carrie and Schmidt. Okay? So next issue will be Beyond Roswell, or Roswell Beyond, or something like that, or The Wrath of Roswell. I'm waiting for that book. You know, book 26, The Wrath of Roswell.
Ron Regera has a book, another damn book about Roswell.
You see? We're right. We had Ron on the show here, and I kind of wondered whether we even care about some of this minute stuff because we're not getting to the core of it. But MJ-12, I grew skeptical of that probably in the late 80s, which dates me. Roswell, I do think we need to expand ourselves. It's too simplistic to say, okay, it was E.T. I think the ideas of it being something related to Earth should be explored further. Those are areas in which certainly my skepticism has increased. I even consider things like, what is it, Cash Landrum and maybe Rendlesham might have more been related to the test of a nuclear-powered aircraft as much as about possible UFOs. I don't know. Paul Kimball, over the years, what about the things that you used to believe in but no longer?
Yeah, it's a pretty wide sort of range of things. You know, I don't want to talk about a particular UFO case, I don't think, because there's a lot of them. You know, I spent a year in 2008, 2009, came out in 2010, doing a ghost investigating television series up here in Canada, and shot four of the episodes in England, actually. And, you know, going in, Holly and I were on the show many years ago. My co-host Holly was more of the believer type, and I was more of the Scully type from the X-Files. So we kind of gender bended the roles there. And things happened during the course of the show that you could have one of two things. You could have one of two reactions. The first one is to just hunker down, as so many UFO believers do, but so too do so many disbelievers, as I call them, and just ignore evidence or ignore experiences and say, well, okay, that couldn't be anything. I'm not even going to think about it. Or you could say, well, that was genuinely weird. I don't know what it was, but it changes my perception of what might actually be happening here. So I'm not going to just dismiss 100% of it as lies or hoaxes or misidentifications or misperceptions. I'm going to actually take a closer look at it. And I think sometimes when it happens to you, that can have a very direct impact on you. People of faith or spirituality, when they have direct religious experiences, as we might call them, some very often can change their views on questions of God or that sort of thing. I mean, Saul on the road to Damascus is the most well-known example, to the point where he even changed his name to my name. Or I changed my name to his name, but, you know, and started a world religion. But, you know, you can find those transformative events. Not everyone's going to be Saul on the road to Damascus, but we can all have those moments where, you know, we have to call into question our beliefs, whether it's politics or whether it's in the paranormal or anything. So, sure. I mean, any lawyer will tell you too, as Goggs said about evidence, that you might enter a trial or you might enter a case with a particular set of evidence. And when new evidence comes to light, you have one of two choices. You can either ignore it and continue on. And that usually means that even if you do convict somebody, it's going to be overturned on appeal and you're going to look like an idiot. By the way, that would also be called prosecutorial malfeasance. You could go to jail for something like that. Certainly lose your job. Or you could take the new evidence and you could say, you know what, I'm going to factor this into what I'm looking at, but I'm also going to give it to the other side and say, look, you take a look at it and you give me your thoughts and let's try and come to the truth of the matter here. I see that in my day-to-day life all the time, whether politics or the industry I work in or the things that interest me, like the paranormal. Far too many people don't share new evidence or don't share their opinions in an open and honest way. Without that, you can't have a real dialogue. It's one of the reasons why I was attracted. Wait, that sounds wrong. But I'll say attracted to Greg and Nick and Mac Tony's. You know, we all sort of thought the same way, that none of us had any real preconceptions. We would just run ideas through the mill. And I think that's the way you have to look at it. And if more people would do that, I think you'd find more people interested in the subject.
Well, the problem is here is that when the media covers UFOs, it's always with pre-built assumptions. So UFOs have to be spaceships. We accept that. The Roswell crash was real. Now let's have another exciting UFO event. Let's get the night vision goggles out. And that is where it begins and where it ends. And it's why we get possibly nowhere. Now, if you folks heard last week's episode that I did with Peter Davenport, and Chris had to leave a little bit before the end of the show, I was really kind of ragging on him about the database. You know, he's kept this database up for 22 years with thousands and thousands of UFO cases, and it's really almost useless because it doesn't have very good search. He's not apt to see if there's a way to merge that with, say, MUFON's database, although both parties would have to agree. It's at a point where we have all this information. A lot of it is online, but it doesn't do anything. We're not really investigating anything. We're just sighting collectors. We're storytellers. Who wants to enter with a comment about that? Just jump in.
Okay, I will. I recently interviewed Cassidy Nicholas, who's an official in MUFON, and I asked her directly. I said, one, are you changing the questions you ask instead of just how high was it, what color was it, all this other stuff? Two, and she said, yes, they're changing it or they're trying to. Two, how do you guard against people leading witnesses? Because, you know, your impression of the typical UFO investigator is they're trying to find evidence for extraterrestrial visitation. She assured me that they're told to be as noncommittal as possible, not to lead the witness, don't ask them any leading questions. It's like, okay, I guess that's all you can do. And the third one was, what do you do with this database? Can anybody use it? She assured me that anybody could use it in a limited way. I guess if you're in the hierarchy or a member or something or make a special request, you can use it. But the thing is, yeah, up to now, people like Davenport, MUFON, earlier the APRO and a few other QFOs have been collecting all this information. And it's an incomplete list, but it's a huge database. Probably one of the most creative things that could be done with this database is get it all together, standardize it in some way, and then start running it through extremely strange scenarios. Mixing very disparate things like the person's background and the day of the week or something like that. Another thing that was pointed out that should be added to the database, and when Jacques Vallée spoke at International UFO conference, he said this near the end, which somebody said they thought I was going to stand up and cheer. But he said the database is great, but things should be added to it, like subjective impressions, and maybe more importantly, what was the person doing before? What activity were they engaged in? What were they doing that day? And what happened later? What happened the next day, the next week, a couple, months, years? How was their life changed?
Let's do our break, and then Chris, you respond, then we'll have Gox. Okay, the 10th anniversary Paracast show. Getting down to business with Gox McKay, Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball, Gene and Chris. With Gene and Chris, you're in
Le Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Yeah. owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We have Paul Kimball, Gogs McKay, Greg Bishop with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Let me remind you about the Paracast Plus. I have mentioned it so far today. It's where we offer the ad-free version of this show, the After the Paracast podcast, show transcripts, videos coming, and more to come. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Some have asked us, once you subscribe to Paracast Plus, can you hear the shows in iTunes? Yes. Can you hear them on your iPhone and Android smartphone? Yes, you can. On iOS, Podcasts app, Downcast, and there are apps also for Android you could hear it on, plus.theparacast.com. So we had Greg's response there about the issues regarding databases, the MUFON database, what Jacques Vallée had to say at the International UFO Congress. Chris, you wanted to throw in a comment, then Goggs. Chris?
Well, I did, and I actually was kind of wondering if Greg had stood up and started cheering, I would have too. When Valet pointed out that what he was saying is we've been, you know, these databases are great when you're looking at an event and the actual mechanics of what went on, you know, duration, azimuth, approximate speed, color, approximate size, that sort of thing. But what most of these databases, in fact, all of them, in my opinion, are missing the forest for the trees. I think the experiencer is as important as what's being experienced, if not more. It's the impact that these events have on people's lives, how these experiences may or may not impact the person's thinking, their belief systems, their sense of I don't know. Oftentimes you hear of people having these events and they are very dramatically impacted by it. In fact, they start religions. They channel ascended masters. They fall prey to the special destiny syndrome, if you will. But some people don't. It's the impact of these events on their life and their thinking is more subtle. And I think it's these follow-up interviews, staying in touch with witnesses, ringing them up occasionally and just having small talk and then just kind of feeling them out to find out how the event has changed or hasn't changed, how they view themselves, their place in reality, and the type of phenomenal event that they experience. I think this is very, very important, and it is not being addressed at all.
Yeah, Gene, I've just got a quick couple of points going back to Peter Davenport's appearance last week. There was one thing that I just thought was great when you said, when you asked Peter, what are we getting out of this? You know, you making your kind of database and stuff, without merging it with others. And he said, oh, Gene, I get, calls or emails from people saying, oh, you've no idea how much you've helped me or something. And you quipped back, that's great. You made somebody feel good, as if to sort of say, that's not really enough of a reason to be doing. I've got the greatest respect for Peter Davenport. He works very hard for a long time for no pay and all that. We get that. But he just seems so reluctant to kind of even consider merging his data with anything else. And what I was basically wanting to, I wanted to get a hold of him and say, right, you're doing all this work. You've been doing it for 20 years or so, Peter. But why? What is the point if all you do is keep it to yourself with no intention of, adding it to the greater picture of other databases stuff? So I'm thinking, he's complaining about all the hours he has to work and stuff like that for no pay. I'm thinking, well, why? What are you doing? What's the end result you want, Peter, apart from just having this database? It's not going anywhere, and the only way to make it go anywhere is to take it further by, adding the work with the work of other people. I don't know what his end aim is if he doesn't wish to, share the data with other people. I mean, I understand him saying, oh, I've done the work and I don't want to just give it away for free. So, why is he doing it? I couldn't understand what his motivation is to give up all this time, but for what?
This is the thing that bothers me so much. Now, he's trying to put a cash value on the database. Well, I've been doing it for 22 years. I don't just want to give it away. Well, what do you want to do with it? It's the same question we'd ask of MUFON or anybody who has a database. Now, remember here, we have these file cabinets with APROS files in it, and that stuff has never been digitized. And there could be a ton of information there that we have no access to. In fact, Chris, I know you've made a lot of comments about that we have these people who are caretakers of APROS files, and nothing's being done. I gather, Chris, nothing is still being done.
Completely disappeared, as far as I can tell. I haven't been able to even ascertain whether they're still in the Sedona area or not. Their phone still apparently works. There's no message on the message machine. So I'm assuming that the same phone numbers work. And every three or four times a year, I call them up and say, hey, remember me? You owe me a visit to the APRO files. And unfortunately, I just hope that they haven't been ransomed off to some private collector or some Japanese guy. Or, you just never know. These people were caretakers of $1 million gem and mineral collection and used it as collateral to get loans to buy land and got busted. They're shady kind of fly-by-night people to begin with, and the fact they ended up with the files is just flabbergasting to me. They were talking 15 full four-drawer file cabinets, plus a lot of boxes, books, tapes, that sort of thing, enough to fill a small storage locker.
It would take years to digitize all that material if it were available. And I remember the title of an article written by Ray Palmer about a brouhaha involving me and Alan Greenfield and Rick Hilberg and Richard Hall back in the 60s when I tried to visit NICAP headquarters with my friends, and Hall looked at me and pointed his finger at me and said, "You're not welcome here." So we told Palmer what happened. He wrote an article called "No Investigations Can Actually Proceed," NICAP for NICAP. But the point here, which continues to bother me, is that nobody is really doing that much research here. You know, we have databases where they're throwing information into this big box, and they're doing nothing with it. And you have field investigators from MUFON collecting sightings, and nothing is being done with it. It's entered into the database. No investigations can actually proceed. Goggs, you had a comment, and we only have a couple of minutes left for the segment. You had a comment you want to make about disclosure, and maybe we could relate it to this.
Exactly. How often do you hear demands in the field of ufology about, oh, the government needs disclosure, to make disclosure, disclosure's coming this year, next year, whatever. But then you've got all these people, such as Peter Davenport, and they have no intention of disclosing what they've got. So, you know, it's kind of, well, you can't expect the government to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves.
Yeah. Pot calling the kettle black.
Exactly.
Chris, we had a number of questions asked of our roundtable participants in the question bank at forum.theparacast.com. We have a minute 40 left for this segment, but maybe you could bring up a question or two and we'll start to answer it. Go ahead.
Okay, well, here's a good one. This one comes from Burnt State. Robert is one of our premier posters, one of the few posters with more likes than posts, actually. He's up almost to 4,000 messages posted. And he's wondering, this is kind of a, just throw it out to the group here, but if you had to name your own foundational pillars of ufology, for better or for worse, what would be some of the cornerstone pieces in how you learn to think about this field of study? Could these be people, books, or specific cases even? So when we come back, we'll get Paul and Greg's and Goggs' view on this. And mine is very simple. So when we come back, we'll go ahead and address that.
All right. This is the beginning, and we have a number of questions from listeners. And we'll try to get to a lot of them. Obviously, we don't predict what they're going to ask. We will predict again that we'd love you to really, really show your support of the PowerCast by joining the PowerCast Plus at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Of course, we feature that special exclusive podcast called After the PowerCast with all sorts of things that are unpredictable. We've added show transcripts with more to come. It takes time. Our first videos and lots, lots more. To learn how to sign up, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. We have Greg Bishop, Goggs Mackay, Paul Kimball, Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now.
For more details, visit rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 years old, and for the past several years, I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.